They have children's church this morning? I didn't hear anybody say. I guess so, they're gone. All right. Good to have Brother Steve and Tracy back with us this morning. Lord been good to him. I mean, I know he's been through the ringer, but, you know, he was here yesterday and here today, so that's one step closer. But he did good in the funeral service yesterday for Mickey. That was a good service for Brother Mickey. Good to see Mr. Delmer back with us today. He's been out a while, too. He's been pretty sick, so. But today, I tried to avoid this message all week. I started working on it last Sunday. But anyway, I kept trying to find something else, but I kept going back to this one. So y'all going to get it. All right. I'm going to be reading in 2 Peter, first verse. First chapter, 1 through, I'm going to focus on 1 through 4, but I'm going to read all the way through 1 through 10. Chapter 2, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertaineth to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so his entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this word. Pray, Father, in the other words, that you just bless it. And Lord, help me, Lord, to share with our church family today, Father, just things, Lord, you've shown me. And Lord, just let you get honor and glory for everything that's done here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We talk about the knowledge of God today. Back in the 80s and 90s, there was an evangelist up around Loganville and Lawrenceville. Some of y'all may have heard of him, Doyle Ricks. Anybody ever heard of Doyle Ricks? Doyle Ricks memorized the whole Bible. He was amazing. He could get up here, turn to any book in the Bible, leave his Bible right here and go down there and start walking around, and you could keep up with him word for word. Sometimes he'd put the period where it went and the comma mark, and, you know, that was amazing. It was so amazing. Back then I had a youth group. I teach the teenagers, and I used to carry them Six Flags and field trips, you know, different things. So I decided I'd take him to hear Doyle Ricks. He was preaching revival up at Youth Baptist Church. You were talking about last week. But But I told the kids, you know, I said, he's amazing. I want y'all to see this man. We're going to go up there. I said, we're going to sit on the very front row because I don't want y'all to miss nothing. Y'all know how teenagers are. But anyway, I told him, I said, now one thing about Doyle, he's got this habit. He won't slap people. You ever see him slap somebody? When he got excited about the Lord, he would slap somebody if he was close enough to him. And I told this little boy, he wasn't really, I mean, he would sometimes, some of the men, I guess that's the ones he didn't like. But he, most of the time, he just popped your jaw. You probably need it, Dick. But I had this little boy, he's my best friend's son, BJ. I told BJ, I said, we're going to go up there now. I said, we're going to sit on the front row. I said, I'm going to tell you something, BJ. I said, if that man comes in there and slaps my jaw, I'm going to body slam him right there in front of that church. BJ said, oh, really? I said, yes, sir. So we went up there that night. Mr. Doyle got up there and started preaching, started reading. He told us what page to turn to, and he walked right down here. We was on the front row. And he was sat down, and he was just reading. You know how he does, just amazing, just reading it. He was reading it, but the Bible was up here, but he was down there. He done memorized that thing. But anyway, he said he stayed in his study 8 hours a day for years to be able to accomplish that. I could have stayed 24 hours a day and never done it, you know. But anyway, Preacher Doyle, he was walking by there and he got excited. He walked right in front of me. No, BJ, he was just looking at me. And then a few minutes later, he walked over to the wall and he come back and he said, I think I'm just going to slap somebody. And old BJ said, but he finally walked right on by me. It was too funny, though. I scared old BJ to death. But that man was amazing. But the first verse, well, let me give you a little introduction, I guess, if I can, setting. Peter here, this is his final message before, you know, he knows his days are short. This was in the area of Asia Minor. He was writing another letter to these people. It was an urgent message. What was going on? They were false teachers in the area, and they were discouraging these young Christians and, you know, just causing all kind of chaos, promoting, you know, they were false teachers, promoting immoral, ungodly living, denying that Christ was even going to return, you know, just causing all kind of confusion. I'm sure some were discouraged, probably caused some to go fall into a spiritual battle. You know, it sounds a lot just like churches today. You know, we are every day in our daily walk, sometimes we get in situations where we don't feel too churchy sometimes, do we? You know, especially when we get out at around Monroe with all this crazy traffic. You know, y'all ever heard of road rage, Rose?
Yeah.
But they get you upset, won't they? But anyway, here Peter is encouraging them to turn back to what they've already learned, what they've already heard, what he's already taught them, reminding them that he was a personal witness of Jesus Christ. He said, look, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm a bondservant. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
A bondservant, that's somebody that's done sold all out to God. It's a slave that's been bought with a price. You know, he don't care anything about being free. All he's wanting to do is be dedicated to Jesus. And he says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's letting them know, look, I've walked with Jesus. I've talked with Jesus. I denied Jesus. I've walked on water going to Jesus. He said, I saw him crucified, but I saw him rise again. I saw the empty tomb where he was laid.
Amen.
He said, you can't tell me nothing. I was with the man. I was an apostle with him. But look, he says to those who have obtained like precious faith with us the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's telling them right here, he's telling them, look, being you are on level ground, even though I'm a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, we're all the same. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. God don't love me no more than he loves you. Everything that God's got, it's yours. It's ours.
Amen.
Look at what it said. It says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. In other words, with all of us. You know, we all got that today. Everyone, if you're a born-again Christian, it's ours. We look at disciples sometimes like they were special people, but they were some of them just as goofy as we are. But, you know? But, some of them might have been worse. When we get to heaven and see Peter, he's going to be the one with a mouth shaped like a foot. But he's telling us, look, Jesus Christ gave it to us. It's ours. And we talk about, keep in mind the knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of God. It's like banana pudding. It gets better and better each verse I read. So it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Y'all thought Peter was a fisherman. He was a mathematician too. He sees him multiply. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Let me sit there a minute. Just think. God is able. We're talking about I'm going to try to get ahead of myself. Let me calm down. God is able to multiply our grace and peace. I might get up tomorrow, I might need a little grace. You might get up tomorrow, you might need a whole bunch of grace. Every one of us has got different amounts of grace and peace that we need. And he's able to, if we need a bunch, he can multiply it. If we want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, he's got more than enough of the grace and peace that we need to grow. In other words, I guess I got so much stuff running through my head. My brain just flying. But my brain can't keep up. Well, my mouth can't keep up with my brain, one or the other. But, you know.
Amen.
But look at this right here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Look at this right here. I'm going to settle on this right here. As his divine power has given to us all things.
Amen.
All things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen.
Let me think about that a minute. He reminds them. I sure don't like notes. I can't keep up with them nowhere. Look, that divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, what he's telling us, I got you. No matter if it's something that you need in everyday life or something you need spiritual, I got you both places. What does it say? His divine power. Look at this for a second. Have you ever really realized that we have a relationship with the divine power?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever let that soak in?
Yes, amen.
Just think about what that divine power can do. I can't even talk now. Just think about, he says he gives us that divine power for what? Everything. Where's Stephanie at? There you are. You know, divine power can show you where to jump in where a song starts.
Absolutely.
He showed me that the other day. I got it. That's a choir joke, but you know, that divine power, it helps us on the big things, the little things. What is something that you're telling yourself right now? What's Satan telling you right now that you can't do? God's divine power says, oh, yes, you can.
Amen.
Have you ever heard in your lifetime, I can do anything that I set my mind to? You can. Knowing the knowledge of God. A lot of people say, well, I don't study the Bible because I don't get it. I can't get it. It don't stick in my mind. The divine power says he can teach it to you. Divine power can take care of everything. Divine power can send you to a good body shop to have your wife's car fixed where you run over it. Because she parked it in the wrong place. Oh. Bless her, Lord. It says, divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called by glory and virtue. You know, if we don't get in the Bible and study like we're supposed to, if we don't gain that knowledge of God, we are walking a defeated Christian life. The only way that we're going to grow in the Lord is get in his knowledge.
Amen.
Get in the Bible. Where is that knowledge? Most of it's in the all it's in the Bible. But we can get it in Sunday school. We can get it in church. We can get it at choir practice. We can get it in Bible study. But you got to make an effort to go get it. This Bible ain't going to jump out. It's amazing. You know, it ain't going to just jump out, you know. We got to get in it. We got to want it. But look at it. Let me tell you something else while I'm right there. You can buy every book that Christian Life Center, Christian bookstores have got on the shelf. And none of them. When you get them books, you get some good stories. I mean, I got books too. I got a bunch of them I buy. You're getting a man's opinion. You're getting a lady's opinion. You might be getting stories that they went through. But when you get in the Word of God, that's God talking to you.
Amen.
Them books, not so much. Just think about that for a minute. I better look for a minute. Which don't matter. I better hurry up. I was thinking, I read all this and I said, there ain't no way. I've never preached a series, but this would be a good one to start on. Because I knew I wasn't going to get past three or four verses, so that's the reason I put 1-4. But all these things that we say we can't do, we can do them all with God. Look at this next. I'm going to give y'all some good English. It just gets gooder and gooder as you go down. Look at this right here. His divine power has given us to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises.
Amen.
Well, that sounds good there, don't it? Rose, what does exceedingly mean? I asked her yesterday. Exceedingly. I didn't trust Webster, so I made up my own. It's something tremendous, awesome, God size, great abundance. Is that yours? Exceedingly. They can't get no better than that. Why? Because they come from God. Let me tell you, I didn't know this till this week, and I started looking. You know, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. I didn't know that. I bet Doyle Ricks probably knew it, but I didn't know it. 7,000 promises. And look, he said, by which have been given to exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of. They're ours. 7,000 blessings. 7,000. But just look at that. These blessings, I know some, I know a good many of them. But I just got to thinking about the blessings of God, and I said, well, let me pick out 5 best ones. And I couldn't pick out the 5 best ones, because all 7,000 of them are good.
Amen.
So how do you pick something of God? It's all good. But I started out, he promises everlasting life.
Amen.
Would you put that in the top of your list?
Yes.
Pretty good, right? He says he forgives us of our sins. Can't nobody else do that. What about inseparable love? That love relationship that we have with this divine power. That Holy Spirit that's living in us. That one that makes you, that tells you when you do wrong. That'll thump you on the head sometimes. Get your attention. Inseparable love. He tells us nothing. What can separate us from God? Nothing. God's got us in the palm of his hands. Once you come to know the Lord, when you said, Lord, I want to live for you, come into my heart and life, you were sealed to the day of redemption. Ain't nobody going to get you. What about our provision and our protection? God protects us. Oh, if you don't think he'll protect you, get on a Harley and go through Monroe. You look like you're playing one of them video games. But he protects us every day. What about your provision?
Yes.
I've been so broke, I couldn't even pay attention. But God supplies. We can't outgive God. You ever tried it? Try it sometime. See who wins. Just think about that provision and that protection. And here's another one. And he said, not only is he going to do it today, he's going to do it always. He said, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of time. And then when that end, we'll be with him all through eternity. What about that blessed hope that he gives us? You know, if a person gets down to where they don't have no hope, they don't have anything. But we've got that blessed hope. Now, all of y'all that said that you couldn't learn the Bible, he even got a promise about that. He said, I'll send you a comforter that'll teach you all things.
Amen.
Even somebody like me.
Amen.
Well, that divine power is something else, isn't it?
Amen.
But have you ever really, I mean, it just shot out at me when I read that, so powerful and so strong, about all these precious promises that are ours. I mean, I think I'm going to start looking and see if I can't find the 7,000 of them.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
That'd be a good Bible study, wouldn't it? Give a prize to the one that found them. But y'all can't use Doyle Ricks, okay? But and he's telling us right here, he says that through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we live in a crazy world. Y'all, I don't have to tell y'all that. But look at the kids, the teenagers, the young people, the garbage that they have to deal with. They don't have half, you know, our biggest problem in school when I was in school was getting caught chewing gum. I had a gun in my truck. I always had a knife in my pocket. It's crazy. How do we get to a point where people don't even have enough sense to know which bathroom they're supposed to go in? That's a bad, you know, which one do I go in? You know? It's crazy. But you know why? Because people have put off, they've lost their desire to even learn of God. They don't, I mean, anything goes. The good old USA. Anything goes. But getting back to the knowledge of God. You know, we can have all kind of book learning. We can read every book that we want to read. We can pack all we can pack in our little brains. Which there ain't nothing wrong with book knowledge. If it's the right book. If we can pack our heads through, just make an effort to learn of God. You know, a lot of people, they struggle their whole entire Christian walk. They some that never, they still on the milk and been in church all their life. They hanging on to that bottle because they won't turn loose and dive in head first with the Bible. When I first got saved, I was working with a preacher. And I wanted to know more about the Lord. I'd look at the Bible and I'd put it down and look. And I'd ask him questions every day. We worked in Atlanta, so he had me all the way to Atlanta and all the way back. I was asking, well, what do I do about this? He got mad one day and he said, why don't you read your Bible? I can't answer all your questions. He hurt my feelings, but, you know, it was the best advice somebody could give me. So I started looking for myself. See, nobody's going to do that. Ain't nobody going to tell you everything about the Bible. We got to have that desire to do it. But I'm going to read you one more promise. And I'll stop. I ain't done, but I'll stop. All right. Let me see what time it is. 12:06. McDonald's is open till midnight. Revelation 21. I'm just going to read four verses. Y'all listen to this right here. Now this is, well, I can't say it's the best, but it's another one. It says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there's no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Promise. Prepared and bride, adorned, promise, for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, promise. I'm adding the promise, y'all. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and we will dwell with them, and they shall be with his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for all the former things have passed away. And it says, then he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That's a pretty good promise right there, isn't it? That's where we're going. Them 7,000 promises is going to get us there. Those 7,000 promises is for me and you to use every day, the rest of our life, every day that we walk on our journey. Sometimes we get up, we say, I can't make it. What's that song we used to do? God says you're going to make it. We can't. Ain't no way we can't make it. We might go in, you know, y'all remember when going to school, you used to get in fights and come home with nose all bloodied up, black eye, and some of your hair pulled out or something like that. Y'all might not have went to school, I did, but it happened pretty regularly. We don't have to worry about all that junk in heaven, though. We all going to have new bodies. Brother Steve's heart's going to be right. It's going to be fixed. I got a scar from here to here. But God fixed it back in 82. And it wasn't even a scar. How about that? I need to quit somewhere. But I might as well quit right here. But listen, there's a difference in the knowledge of God and knowing God. You can have, there's a lot of people who probably know twice, a whole bunch more than I do about the Bible. But I know God.
Amen.
Do you know God? I hope you do. If you do, praise the Lord. Walk with, get in there, learn more, dig more, hunt them 7,000 promises. Get closer to it. And if you're not, get saved first before it's too late.
Amen.
I just read the final chapter, final part of our lives. You don't want to miss that. All right, I'll quit. Come on, Stephanie. Wake up. She wasn't asleep. Is everybody staying? I want you to think about that. If here's another thing. If you even have that desire to get all the knowledge of God, you know, come and pray about it. Say, Lord, help me. You know, like I told you, I started studying this last Sunday when Rose was over here at Bible study. And I don't know how many times I've read it. But every time you read it, you see something else. I said, Lord, I can't write all this stuff down. I can't tote the book in. But I don't, you know, notes get me in trouble sometimes because I read what's supposed to went first and what, you know, all that. So go for it. I'll hush.
You're all.